is
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Morning. Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program and hope it's starting off well for you. We're going to have a couple of guests joining us this morning later on in the 8 o'clock hour. We are going to check in with the president and CEO of the Zeitarian Performing Arts Center, Rosemary Gill. She's going to be joining us to talk about some of the updates as they are underway with the big $37 million renovation. We'll talk about where that stands and what some of those additional spaces mean for the community. And also, we're going to be talking a little bit later on with Charlie Murphy from MO Life as well to find out more about that organization and the great work that they do. So they'll all be coming up probably all in the 8 o'clock hour. Until then, it's you and I at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app if you want to send them in that way. And thanks everybody who does send things in that way. I hate, man, every time I go to press something on this computer, if you hit it in the wrong spot, everything just shuts down on you. Anyway, so we can discuss some more about what happened in yesterday's discussion with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. I thought that was a very interesting conversation as we got into what is going on with the council. As we've been talking about here at length, there's a fraction within the family, as Councilor Linda Morad calls it. There's the troika, as Ward 1 Councilor Leo Chiquette referred to them, of Councilor Chiquette, Ward 3 Councilor Sean Oliver, and Councilor-at-Large Ian Abreu, versus, I guess, the rest of the council. I don't like saying versus because, you know, they obviously are able to work together on a variety of things, and I don't think it's confrontational on the part of all of these individual councilors. I think it's more, for whatever reason, Councilor Morad and Councilor Chiquette have their issues with each other. And it kind of stunned me to some degree. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but it also surprised me that Council President Burgo pinned this on Chris McCarthy. And I get it. And I tried to push back in the conversation, but there's only so much I know that I can push because I know there's only so much a counselor will say about other counselors. They have a standing tradition of not insulting each other, not, you know, publicly. Obviously, they'll do it in a text message, call each other a sleaze, but you're not gonna bait a counselor into saying something negative about another counselor. So I knew he wasn't going to come out and say something like, and if, I don't know if this is the way that Council President Burgo feels, but if he felt like, you know, oh, Leo's just being a jerk about this, he's not going to come out and say that. But to put it all on Chris McCarthy seems a little disingenuous. Because to me, that came across, I mean, listen, I know that Council President Burgo and Chris McCarthy have differences of opinion. I know that they have differences of ideology. I know, you know, obviously, Chris McCarthy openly campaigned on the radio for Shane Burgo not to be the council president. And for you to call your counselors and tell them that you didn't want Shane Burgo to be the council president. Which, for the most part, was an exercise in futility. Because the internal workings of the council are not really the jurisdiction of the voters. You know, electing a council president among them is something that they do. I'm not saying that they wouldn't take your opinion into consideration, but you don't, you're not the person that's involved in all of the inner workings of it. You know, they are. So they're going to make the decision of what they think will make the council work the best. And so, you know, that makes Chris an easy scapegoat for a lot of things because, you know, obviously he and Councilor Burgo have issues. I mean, I'll say that when they pass each other in the hallway here, it's generally cordial. There might be a couple of shots taken, but they're laughing. But I think it's disingenuous to pin this all on Chris. Does Chris stir the pot? Absolutely. I think he'll admit that himself. But I don't think he wields this influence over the city council that Council President Burgo is insinuating. Or actually, not insinuating, he outright said it. I think that influence is with Councilor Morad, and I asked him about that, and he said, you know, of course, somebody who's been there for a long time, people are going to listen to them. But that also is a strong female personality. If this was a strong male personality, you know, people might look at it differently. And I don't think that he's wrong in that. I mean, that's just kind of how things go. I mean, just look at what happened in the presidential election. You know, people had to talk about how Kamala Harris got her job. You know, like, it can't be that a woman can be successful. And unfortunately, we still have too much misogyny in society, even if it's unintentional. But sometimes it's okay to say that somebody causes the trouble if they're the ones that are causing the trouble, if they're the ones that are causing the issue, I should say, whether they're male or female. And sending out a text message to 10 other counselors, referring to one of your council mates as a sleaze. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been on the council. That's bad form. And it doesn't matter what Councilor Choquette did. You've got to be the bigger person about it. And the fact that this, here's what I keep going back to. The text message that Councilor Morad sent out said right at the bottom of it, how long do you want to bet it takes this to get to Chris McCarthy? She knew. First of all, she knew who the person was that leaked it. I shouldn't use the term leaked because it wasn't really a leak. But who gave that information to Chris? She knew who it was. And putting out that text message with that line at the end, she wanted that to get out. She knew it was going to get out. So I don't envy Council President Burgo for having to deal with this issue. But I think trying to turn it around and put it on what happens on the radio station is, I mean, listen, please do that all day long. The more power and influence you want to give WBSM, the better off it looks for us, right? But also, if you are a city councilor and you are listening right now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Okay? This is a place for people to call in and vent. This is a place for people to call in and complain. This is a place for people to exercise their negativity. This is not the ballot box. I'll also tell you another thing too as well. A majority of the people that call up and complain about you, counselors, don't even live in the city and don't even vote. And I have never heard from anybody in the audience who calls up and says, I'm not going to vote for that person because I heard somebody else on the radio bashing them. That being said, you all have the opportunity to come on the station and speak to the people directly. You've got my number, or if not, you've got my Facebook, or you've got my email, tim@wbsm.com. And if none of that works, you can send an app chat message. But you all have the ability to come on this station. I will let you come on pretty much anytime, unless I have a guest already scheduled. Chris's show is a little bit more regimented because he books guests. But he's still willing to have you all on. I'm sure Barry would welcome the opportunity. Again, he's got some scheduled guests during the week as well. But you have the opportunity to come on here. So if you feel like what is being said on the... And this drives me crazy. Because I hear this from other elected officials where they say, well, you know, WBSM just bashes all the time. And no, well, then come on. I don't think anybody got beat up more on the radio a couple of years ago in the election than Sheriff Paul Heureaux. Or I think he's saying it hero now. But still, nobody got beat up more than the sheriff during that election. And he still comes in every month. And sometimes gets into it with Chris, but knows that it's important to come on and talk about the work that his office is doing. Because he wants to make sure that he is accurately portraying in his mind what's going on over there. And you all have that opportunity as well. If you feel like you don't want to go on with Chris, for whatever reason, you can come on with me. But I think that this is, it's silly to try to suggest that the radio station is what's causing this friction amongst the counselors. It's the counselors that are causing this friction among the counselors. It's two strong personalities that aren't getting along, and neither one is budging in how they're going to deal with the other. All we do is comment and allow for other people to comment. The easiest way to stop that conversation is don't give us something to comment on. And I think part of this is, listen, audiences that listen to particular hosts are likely to agree with particular hosts. And they're not going to do the work on their own to see how much of that is legitimate. You know, I'll use this as an example. Council President Burgo brought up how Chris keeps referring to the longevity pay as a pay raise. And it's not a pay raise. And I said as much to Chris, and Chris knows full well what it is. But that's how he's chosen to characterize it. So people who listen to him refer to it as such. The only way you're going to combat that is to go on with him and debate that with him and why it isn't. So the opportunity is there. He's you might feel like his nicknames are disrespectful. You might feel like, you know, some of his jokes are disrespectful. I would say that that's not the case. It's satire with him. If you come in here and sit down, if Maria Giesta, who he's been beating up on for quite a while now, if she came in and sat down and had a conversation with Chris McCarthy, they would have a respectful conversation. Again, the easiest way to dispel anything that somebody's saying about you is to just go and address it head on. And I get it. You know, sometimes you just want to avoid conflict. But I can't say it any more plainly. This is where you can talk to the people. Putting up a Facebook post about it. Putting out a press release about it through the council office. What does that mean? You're sending out a press release to a bunch of people who probably aren't even listening to what's going on the radio. And again, I don't think any election has ever been won or lost based on what conversations people are having here. It can only help you to get your own point of view and your own perspective out. I guess the radio can hurt some people. Now that I'm saying this out loud, I remember the Tyson Moultrie first time out. The radio did not help him any. But still, the opportunity is here. 508-996-0500. And as I said, you know, if you don't want to go on Chris's show, come on mine. I think most people can agree that I'm pretty respectful to the guests, and I'll let you have your say. Right now, though, I've got to let these commercials have their say. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with the news with Mike Roberts. We'll be back in a few moments.
Everything's a mess. There's a restaurant down the street where hungry people like to eat. I could walk, but I'll just drive. It's colder than it looks outside. It's like you're trying to remember, but it's gone, then you're trying to scream, but it only comes.
And welcome back in. We're going to go into the news with Mike Roberts. When we come back on the other side, more with you. You can call in 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails, both available on the WBSM app as well. If you haven't downloaded that already, just pick it up from your app store, or you can get directly from the listen tab on WBSM.com. It's brought to you by South Coast Towing. All right, let's turn things over to Mike in the newsroom.
A new prime minister for Canada, protesters against Tesla in Boston, and not a good start to the week on Wall Street.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Canada is selecting its next prime minister. On Sunday, Canada's Liberal Party announced Mark Carney was elected to succeed Justin Trudeau, who announced his resignation back in January. Carney is credited with helping to guide the country through the worst of the 2008 financial crisis while acting as the governor of the Bank of Canada. He's expected to be sworn in later this week. In his acceptance speech, Carney criticized President Trump's recent tariffs, saying that he's attacking Canadian workers, businesses, and families. Three people are dead after a medical helicopter crashed in rural Mississippi. The Madison County Sheriff's Office says the chopper went down in a densely wooded area. The helicopter was carrying two University of Mississippi Medical Center employees and a pilot. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves posted on X that he and his wife are praying for the victims. Not yet known what caused that crash. The FAA is investigating. Not a good day for stocks on Wall Street yesterday. Brian Shook has the details.
The stock market is having its worst start to a presidential term since 2009. According to Dow Jones market data, stocks suffered their weakest first 50 days of a presidency since President Barack Obama's first term. As of Monday, the S&P 500 had fallen 6.4% since President Trump's inauguration on January 20th. I'm Brian Shook.
Dozens of people staged a protest outside of the Tesla showroom in the Back Bay of Boston. Organizers say they held the protest because of the actions of Elon Musk and the Trump administration. Many signs referred to Musk as a fascist, and others urged people not to buy Teslas. The group is planning to hold weekly protests on weekends to continue expressing their displeasure with Musk. A Palestinian student's deportation has been blocked by a judge. Tammy Trujillo has that story.
A federal judge in New York is blocking efforts from the Trump administration to deport Columbia student Mahmoud Khalil. ICE agents took him into custody Saturday night, saying his student visa had been revoked, but his lawyer says he's here legally with a green card. He'd been involved in anti-Israel protests at Columbia University in recent months. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics extended their winning streak to five games after topping the Jazz 114-108 at the Garden last night. Boston takes on the Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow at the Garden. The Florida Panthers are visiting the Bruins tonight.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Still chilly as you're heading out the door, but don't worry, we are going to warm up in a hurry today. Temperatures largely in the mid and upper 50s. For the record, our average highs are in the mid 40s this time of year. So once we get to numbers that start with a 5, things are looking good. Enjoy the sunshine and enjoy the mild air. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500 is the number to call in and get involved in the discussion today. And one of the stories that we have at WBSM.com, and you heard Mike talking about this at the top of the hour, is there was an incident at Bridgewater State University in which someone placed neo-Nazi stickers on some of the school property. So it was on a bus stop and a couple of other locations in a parking lot. And they used surveillance photo, campus police and others, investigators used surveillance footage to track down the suspect, Michael Beaudry, a 32-year-old Bridgewater man. And so he is alleged to be the person who went and stuck these stickers. They say that in the video, the person who is driving the truck that he owns is seen leaving the truck and placing the stickers on the plexiglass of the bus stop before he takes a picture of the sticker with a cell phone. And they say that in the video, he is wearing a dark-colored jacket with a patch on the left arm, dark-colored boots, pants, and a red stocking cap. He is also captured on camera giving a Nazi salute after posting one sticker. And this comes from the Plymouth County District Attorney's Office. So the authorities obtained a search warrant for his truck and allegedly located various anti-Semitic and white nationalist stickers within his truck. They said that when they searched his truck, he was wearing the same red stocking cap, jacket, and boots with red laces. He also allegedly had more anti-Semitic, neo-Nazi, and white nationalist stickers on his person, in addition to what the DA's office described as a Hitler Youth knife with a swastika on the handle. So he was arrested. He was held on $50,000 bail. They requested that he be held on $50,000 bail and GPS monitoring and a stay away, no contact order for BSU. And then he surrendered all of his firearms. So the judge agreed to all of that except the bail amount. He lowered that from $50,000 to $2,500. The incident, again, is caught on surveillance video. So I think it's going to be hard for Michael Beaudry's attorney to argue that, you know, it wasn't him. I don't know what defense you're going to take for something like this. Even if you want to say, you know, it's his free speech to have vile opinions, you still can't place those stickers on school property. It's still vandalism. But will this, you know, as of right now, he's been charged with one count each of vandalizing property and tagging property. But could this also result in hate crime charges? Now, sometimes, you know, people will say, well, he wasn't charged with that. Sometimes it takes a little while because those are federal charges. And by no means does it mean that he wouldn't be subject to that just because he's charged with vandalism and tagging property. Now, why someone would feel so emboldened to go and do this, knowing, you must know that on a college campus, there's surveillance everywhere. There's going to be cameras everywhere. He gave a Nazi salute, allegedly, to the sticker after he stuck it on the bus stop. I think you do that if you think something is watching or somebody is watching. I just don't understand, you know, why. I mean, obviously, you must have wanted to have been caught. You can't have thought you would have gotten away with that. But this is just, you know, one of the many recent incidents. If you remember, we had the story, I think it was last year or the year before, where people were waking up and walking out of their front yard and finding neo-Nazi paraphernalia, you know, pamphlets that were left. And it's very concerning. And unfortunately, people don't take it seriously enough. because you think that somebody who would do something like what Michael Beaudry is accused of doing is mentally ill. And that may very well be. But that makes it too easy to be dismissive of it. And also, we have, you know, tried to change the definitions of what we look at as anti-Semitism to fit whatever the current political narrative is. So, for example, you're going to have people that are going to say, well, why can't he put neo-Nazi stuff if people can go and protest Israel? Protesting Israel is not anti-Semitic. Protesting Israel because they are Jews would be anti-Semitic. Protesting them because you don't like the government's policies or its military actions or anything along those lines is protesting the government. That's like saying somebody is misogynistic just because they have an issue with a female elected official. But I think we have a tendency, if not to downplay the anti-Semitism, we certainly have a tendency to excuse it under the guise of mental illness. So it'll be interesting to see how this case shakes out. Beaudry has pleaded not guilty to the counts of vandalizing property and tagging property. And I think that's going to be a hard thing to argue if he's on surveillance and everything in the surveillance video matches up. But, you know, we'll see where that goes. He will be back in court on, I think it was April 1st. Yes, April 1st. 508-996-0500. Going to take a break here, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Nobody tells you where to go, baby.
And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails open on the WBSM app. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. I'd love to hear Linda Morad come on anybody's show and explain why what Leo did was sleazy. Because she won't. I absolutely believe, you know, the reason people have voted for her all the years, including me in the past, is because she usually is fiscally conservative, has a good handle on what's going on with the budget, and knows people are interested in that. You know, it affects people.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, she's claiming he's sleazy. He got elected saying right up front he wanted transparency and maybe to get some handle on the rising taxes or whatever. Whatever, you know, he said. That was kind of, I think, why people voted for him. And I think anybody who decides we don't need to let the taxpayers know about this particular expense is being sleazy, because that's literally your job, to know the budget, to, you know, keep people abreast of what the issues are, and not when, hey, we can maybe fly this under the radar and the people don't need to know.
Yes. Well, I think so. First of all, that is a mischaracterization. So it's not being slid under the radar. It's something that is in the budget. It's something that was in the mayor's budget, and it's something that wasn't paid out. So that's what the question here is why was it in the budget and it wasn't paid out? This wasn't the counselor saying, hey, I've got my hand out. I want you to pay me. This was, where did that money go if we were supposed to get it and we didn't? And there was nothing shady about what they did. I mean, counselors put motions out all the time and then decide not to put them on the agenda. So I hear from counselors all the time and say, hey, I'm going to have this agenda on Thursday's agenda. I'm going to have this motion on Thursday's agenda. And then it doesn't end up getting on there because they hold off and they bring it up another time. So none of what happened is unusual. It's just being characterized as something that it wasn't. I mean, I'm just trying to be fair about it.
Right, but I'm saying that's what I'd like clarified. I'd like clarified what exactly was considered sleazy, because he's maybe trying to make people aware of this.
Right, and I think even Council President Burgo said the same thing, that, you know, it's not necessarily that it was sleazy, but, you know, the way that it was done. So the way that, according to Council President Burgo, again, so this isn't from Councilor Morad's words, but he portrayed that as the sleazy part was the way that Leo was trying to mischaracterize it. So what was a normal procedural thing, and, you know, we'll put a motion on, oh, we're not going to put the motion out just yet, something that happens all the time, he portrayed it to Chris as being something that was being sneaky. That's I think what Councilor Morad and Councilor Burgo were talking about in terms of the sleaziness of it, the way that he was trying to characterize it.
I mean, maybe people would consider the having a retention, not a retention bonus, but, you know, and maybe not a pay raise, but some kind of pay perk that not everybody's really aware of. It's like, this is just the way we do things. Well, first of all, why? Why are you getting a bonus to stick around? And so many people think, oh, once people get in, you know, it's very hard to get them out of office. Sometimes they've gone past their prime, let's say, lost touch with the constituents, or, you know, just getting nasty and not able to work together. Whatever the issues are, it's like you've done great. Okay, now you're off the rails. Let's see you go. But this also keeps people around, all these extra little pay perks, you know, as far as I'm concerned, even pensions. No.
I mean, do you think somebody's going to keep running just to get a one-time $850 bonus every year?
No, I'm saying all totaled, just like up at the State House, all totaled, these little perks, yes, they're very much incentives. I would say so, yes. And I also feel, I mean, it's a whole separate issue, but I feel like pensions are keeping people around. I don't feel like there should be a pension. It's a service you do for a period of time, whether you choose to run or not. I do not think that is. I don't think people should be getting pensions.
Just to clarify, you mean pensions for elected officials? I mean, you're not talking about regular everyday workers.
No, you want to go out in the private sector and have a job that has that as one of your, you know, incentives to take the job. But as public officials, no, I do not. I do not believe there should be pensions for anyone, state level, federal. You're not there to be there for the rest of your life as an elected official, is the way I see it. So that's a whole separate issue. But I'm saying, yeah, I'd like to have her say what's sleazy, because he circumvented the process, but also pointed out to some people that might not have known that there's a perk that people are getting, and we're just going to, you know, I think it all should be above board.
They think it's sleazy the way they feel that he mischaracterized it, and that's the sleazy part. Again, I don't know. I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just trying to explain why they use that word, or why Councilor Morad used that word.
The process and whatnot, but don't tell me they don't jump switch the process around when it's convenient. And part of it is, I think, the fact why she tried to get the other councilors on board is because, hey, we kind of had this flying under the radar, and now he's making a big, like, draw the attention to it. So I think that's why she thought the other councils would be on board. It's like, hey, we're kind of getting this little perk nobody's really paying attention to. And now look, he's got all eyes on it. So, but she won't come on. She won't. This is the way she is now.
No, I mean, I can ask her again. Have a good day. All right, I got to take a break here. And again, I mean, not to, you know, argue with that caller, but I think, again, that's a mischaracterization of what this was. That this is something that, as Council President Burgo explained, it was in the budget. They didn't get it. They want to ask where that money went. Why didn't they get it? This isn't about we want that money. This is about where did that money go? And if you're looking for somebody who's going to be fiscally responsible and somebody who's going to be, you know, a watchdog for that, for your tax dollars, then that's a question that they should be asking. Caller, hang on. I got to take a break here. We've got to get this break in and then the news, but I will take you as soon as we come back. We'll be back in just a few moments.